We're going to look at the second part of the topic that we were studying, be working for God, Matthew 25 verses 14 to 30. It's amazing, and this morning how the songs that Ben has chosen, it really has to do with what we are going to study today. When he was showing us some pictures of trees, some bearing fruits, and it was amazing how to see the palm tree looking very bare and yet casting an important shadow, the shadow of a star. And I like what he said, and that's how God looked at us. Each of us, in his sight, we are special. And this is exactly what we are going to look at today. We have been looking at the first two parables. Next Sunday, we'll look at the third parable and the final of the teachings of Jesus. And I want you to feel with me. As Jesus approaches the cross, as we move into chapter 26, everything is going to happen so rapidly. A lot of bad things are going to happen, so it seems. And Jesus is going to be assaulted and then crucified. But before all these things happen, he has got a very important message. And to next Sunday, the final parable, that is really going to cap it all. And you have to follow the trend, the mind of Jesus, what he's trying to tell us. In the first two parables, the first parable, he portrayed himself as a bridegroom. He's coming for his church, the bride. And in this second parable that we are studying, he portrayed himself as the master who is going away on a long journey. And he's going to come back again when we do not know. But he has got his servants waiting. And in the meantime, while they were waiting, they were supposed to be working. And we looked at the first two servants, the one with the five talents and the one with the two. Today we'll be looking at the third one who had one. And what is it that Jesus is going to teach us? Let's look to him in prayer. Father, we thank you again this morning that we can come to you. We ask right this moment that you quieten our hearts, and Lord, as we come to your feet to learn, we ask that, Lord, you speak to us and help us to be teachable. We ask that this morning you will do a special work in our hearts, because we know that what you're going to say to us is important. May we, those of us who have got ears, may we pay attention to what you have got to say. Thank you again, Lord, because your word is life. We know not where else to find. Thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We've said that the first parable of the bridesmaids, or the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The foolish thought that they look alike, but they were not, and they were shut out. They looked uniform, but there was no transformation in their lives. And Jesus is telling them and us that we need to be ready. Check ourselves. Do we really have a relationship with the bridegroom? Or are we just spectators thinking that we have a special relationship? And in this second parable, he's speaking about a master with his servants. And what are the servants supposed to be doing? What are they supposed to be engaged in? We saw in our last study that this master entrusted to them his property. And we have said that property could be taken to mean talents, or money, or gifts, possessions, goods. And today, it's translated into our life, our very being, our breath, our abilities, our time, our resources, and the opportunities that come along. So these are truly the things that God has entrusted to us today. Our own very breath. It's God given. How many of us can be certain that tomorrow will be alive? How many of us? None? I'm the only one? Tomorrow I'll be alive. I can tell you what I'll be doing. I'll be playing golf tomorrow. But in earnest, you know that that's not true. This morning, we were just coming to church. We were walking to the car park. And next block, there was a group of people. Apparently, either somebody is sick, very ill, or somebody just took a dive. We don't know. We didn't have time to stop to check. But on the way out of the car park, we saw an ambulance coming in. We don't know. Tomorrow is never guaranteed to any one of us. So we only have today, the life, the breath, the opportunities we have today. This parable speaks to us about the need for us, and Jesus himself wants us to be accountable, because he says, I'm coming back to settle accounts with them. So we saw in the last study that you and I need to be working for God. And I will suggest to you two other ways. The last study we had was that we need to invest our life expanding the kingdom of God. And we need to invest our life right now, immediately and completely, 100%, and then profitably, to make profit for the kingdom of God. And we need to be wise. We need to take risks, take steps of faith, trust God. Don't be afraid. Trust in His power, because it is God who gives us the power through His Holy Spirit who indwells us today. We have God living in us, and we need to be creative. That's what we did in our last study. Today, the fourth way in which you and I can be investing our life is to invest our life eagerly and joyfully. Eagerly, and as we saw the first two servants, what did they do? When they were given the talents, the Bible tells us they went out immediately. They were so eager to do something, all right, that the master has set them out to do. They were so eager. They say, wow, I've been entrusted with this, and I'm going to do it. And they were doing it joyfully. But, and there's always the but, in contrast with the excitement of this, the other two servants, there's this last one, the third servant who had only one talent. What is the problem with him? We look in verse 18. Matthew 25:18 says, but the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Then the man who had, and verse jump down to 24, then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Wow. There is so much we can learn about a man in what he does and what he says. And what did he do or what did he not do? And what did he say? What is our view of God? And that was what Ben was saying this morning. How do you see God? God sees you as special. God sees you as somebody who's precious. And He loves you. But sometimes we beat ourselves up. We think we're useless. We think we cannot contribute. But God sees us differently. But the question is turned around, how do you see God? What is your view of God? And the response of this man in his actions and the way he responded in his words showed that he had the wrong view of God. And a wrong view of God would lead to wrong conduct, wrong lifestyles, and wrong attitudes. What did he not do? Or what did he do? What did he say? And what was it? How did he view God? From this, you and I can see that in his mind, he says, Master, I knew you were a hard man. To put it in another way, he's saying, Master, I know you are unfair man. You harvest where you have not sown. You gather where you have not scattered. In the days when if you were a farmer, you would only harvest in your own field. Isn't that logical? Would you go to someone else's field? Like just now you see the lemon tree in your neighbor's backyard. You go into your neighbor's backyard and you start plucking the lemons and say, wow, these lemons really look good this year, you know, and I'm sure they're going to taste well. And you get a huge basket home, and without even bothering what your neighbor thinks. You think you can do that? You can't, because that is stealing. And this servant is really saying to his master, Master, you're an unfair man. You make profit where you did not invest. And you just harvest. You just go to someone else's field and just take whatever you want. And that's the way some of us look at God, the way He is. And, you know, it's frightening. And if you were to sit down carefully and to look at ourselves today, sometimes that's our view of God. He's just not fair. He's unreasonable. And he's always angry. He's angry at me. For whatever reason, I don't know. And because, Master, you are like that, I was afraid. I was afraid. So I didn't dare do anything. I was paralyzed. I went to dig a hole, and then here it is. This belongs to you. And if you were to think a little bit deeper, it sometimes portrays the way we are. Even the way we responded in our workplaces. There will be moments when I will be thinking, my boss is only paying me $1. And I'm going to do $1 worth of work. And here it is, boss. It's just, this is what you've paid me, and this is what you get. You pay me peanuts, you get a monkey. That's what we say. And this is the attitude, because this man had a wrong view of God. And in his whole life, he became disinterested, indifferent to his work. There is no joy, no eagerness, no enthusiasm, no excitement at all. But you know what? That is the wrong view of God. God wants us to be filled with joy. God wants us to have the right view of Him. And what is the right view of God? Let me read to you Matthew 7:11. Matthew 7:11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? How much more? We have a loving Father who loves us so much. He's just waiting and wanting to give us many good things. But the question is, are you ready for them? The first two servants, they were joyful. They were glad. They were eager. And they were grateful because they had the right view of God. And because of that, their work attitude is different. And they were able to work with great joy. Let me share with you just a little statement. If you think that's true, maybe you can write it down. Do what you love, and you will love what you do. Do what you love, and you will love what you do. If you and I cannot love what you do, then every day going to school, going to work, when you have a time in the kitchen, it would be a torture. You'll be dragging your feet. But God has filled us with power, with His power, with His joy, and He wants us to have a great life. And that great life can be only possible if you and I were to follow Jesus. Strange thing, sometimes we just forget so easily that, you know, you may be saying, Pastor John, you know, right, God wants to give me, but I've yet to experience it. You said God is waiting and wanting and willing and wanting to give me the best, but so far I've only been receiving a lot of bad news and, you know, bad things happen to me. When is it going to happen to me? Sometimes we forget that to receive, you need to have empty hands. And you and I need to empty ourselves. Could it be that you and I, we are just holding on so tightly to so many unimportant things in our lives that God just couldn't. He just couldn't put any more things in your hands. Because your hands are full. Think about it for a moment. God is just wanting and waiting to give us His best. But we are just holding on to so many other unimportant things in our lives. And one of those things that we have big problem with, and we said just now, the talents, it's also it represents our money, our income. And you say, whoa, you know, Pastor John, I knew you're coming to that. And, you know, some of you may be just clutching tightly now to your handbags and your wallets, all right? But talents does include money. And sometimes we hold our money so tightly. What did Jesus Himself have to teach us so many times, right throughout the Bible? Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Paul said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a, read with me, cheerful giver. God wants us to give whatever you have decided in your heart. Yes, God does give us a guideline. A tithe is a 10%. But if you study the Old Testament, in reality, a tithe is somewhere closer to 13%. But we take 10% as a guide. And God gives us a guide. But if your heart so determined that you can give less, then you give less. Or if you want to give more, then you give more. But it is purely your decision. You have to decide, because God wants you to be cheerful. As you give, you need to realize that, wow, I'm a child of God, and I get to give. It's a privilege for me to give, and I'm giving to God. And you know what? You guys understand all this very well, that God doesn't need our money. And many times we give, we think that, wow, we are doing God a favor. Malachi says, you are robbing God. But don't think of yourself as robbing God. I think go further, because in reality, you are robbing yourself of benefits because you are holding on so tightly to your possessions, your money, things that you hold so dearly to, and close to your heart. And God is not able to give you any more. So give as your heart guides you. And that is a great guide. And as you give, be cheerful. And if you cannot be cheerful, then my suggestion to you is don't give. Because God is not pleased with your giving. All right. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 goes on to tell us, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of your land produce, that of everything your land produces. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with the finest wine. Jesus himself said in Luke 6:38, if you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. If, the word is if you give. And here I have to caution you. God will give back to you, but not necessarily in financial ways, not in monetary terms. God usually gives us back in so many other ways that the joy is greater than what money can give to you. And that is the truth. You know, we're so blessed here in this church. Many of you are giving in so many ways. You're giving in of your time, your effort, you know. And it's so unusual to have so many of you serving and giving. And I'm so blessed to be working with you guys. And I just want to say again that, you know, last year when we went into a huge deficit because we spent too much renovating this place, and many of you gave. And today we have still a small little personal loan still outstanding, very small, and we should be able to clear it very soon. That's because of your giving and your love. For that, thank you, you know, and keep up the great work and continue to serve God. And in reality, you will experience that as God gives to you, you will experience Him in great measures. And that kind of joy is incomparable. Not anything that money can buy. Sometimes in our mind, we always think that money can solve all the problems. That's what many people like to say. But you and I know that in reality, that is not true. And I want to caution you here. Do not take this verse to mean that if you give $10 today into the offering bag, you're going to get $100 tomorrow. Many times it doesn't happen this way. God may choose to use that way, but so often He's more creative than we are, and He will bless us. He will enrich our lives in so many other ways. And the key thing for us to remember that as we give, we need to say to ourselves, wow, I get to give to God. It's such a privilege to be a part of His work in expanding the kingdom of God. And as we are all partners in this ministry in expanding of God's kingdom, we only one day wish that when we stand before Jesus, we want to hear Him say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Invest your life faithfully. He said to both the first two servants the same thing. He didn't say, well, you have got two talents only. You take the corner seat and not be seen. Right? Those who have more, please sit right in front. That is not the way God works. God judges us by our faithfulness. And We just simply need to remain obedient, to continue to do what He's telling us to do, and to be faithful. And today, being faithful is not an easy thing. And I want you to understand this. Being faithful to God requires hard work. Hard work. Sometimes you may be called to help, a neighbor has got something to do, a friend is in need, and he calls you at the most inconvenient time, and you just have to drop everything and do it. It is hard work, but it is being faithful. If today God puts something into your hands, what do we do? Ecclesiastes Solomon says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Give your best shot. Whatever God puts into your hands, I don't know what, but you do. Every day when you have new opportunities to serve God, He puts something into your hands. You have a choice. You can either decide to drop it, or you can decide to do it with all your might. If we walk around putting our hands in our pockets, then our hands cannot do anything. But if we've got hands that are empty, ready, and willing, then God can use us. All right, put down your pen, put down your paper. All of you, raise up your hands with me. Right up. Oh, welcome back. All right, keep it up. All of us have got hands. I've got hands too. And these hands, if you look carefully, they are attached to me. So are yours. And it's up to me to decide what I want to do with it. All right. Thank you. We have gifts. As what we've learned, even through the songs this morning, all of us are given gifts. None of us can ever point a finger at God and say, God, you've been unfair. You didn't give me this gift. Sure, some are more obvious, some are less. But every one of us have got gifts. And in verse 29 of Matthew 25, Jesus said, for everyone who has will be given more. And he will have an abundance, whoever does not have. Even what he has will be taken from him. This, people, is the law. The law of what we call the law of usage. The spiritual law of use states that faithful service increases our talents. If you and I will faithfully serve Jesus, we will have more talents. Or on the street we say, use it or lose it. You would remember that you and I have got many talents when we were younger. And we stop. We drop. Many of you learned piano when you were young. All right, man, you remember those days. Your mom stand behind you with a cane. Isn't it? All right, and you go, tang, 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 tang. The moment you reach 12 years old, you say, I'm an adult. I'm not going to take piano anymore. All right, you gave up. But you were at probably grade 7, you know, and then you gave up. Today, after 10 years, after 15 years, you have lost it. You can't play anymore. I remember when I was young, when I was in school, I used to play the trumpet. I still have the trumpet with me, but I can't play it anymore because I've stopped for too long. When I was in school, I could reach the high A, all right? And that was amazing for me, and I was so proud of myself. But I've lost it. I can't even play a scale today. Right? So, important thing for us to realize is, if you and I, God given us gifts, talents, if you don't use it, you will lose it very, very quickly. And who is God? Who is this God who is giving me gifts? Let me point you to an important verse in verse 31, Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? This is a promise of God, that he did not spare his own son. He didn't hold back. And what would he hold back? What else can he hold back? And Paul is saying, nothing. He will give us everything, all good things he is waiting and wanting to give us. And we only need to be faithful and work hard at it. Can I suggest some things to you? That some of us today may be sitting here and saying, Pastor John, you don't know me. I really don't have a gift. I can't sing. I can't lead. I can't teach. Can you smile? How many of you cannot smile? Alright, let me see your smile. A Jesus smile. You have the gift of smiling. Go up to somebody and smile and say, Jesus loves you. That's a gift. I've seen people 45, 50 years old cannot smile. Alright? The face is like their goldfish died yesterday. And man, you cannot make them smile, and they are always very sad. But Jesus has given us all smiles. We have got gifts. Many of you I see have got great gifts. You can help. You've got the gift of help. You can serve. You can, if you can, you know, stand at the door and hand out a bulletin and smile and say, welcome. Alright? If you can do that, go and see Roland. He would love to see you. Alright? How many of you can smile and hand a bulletin to somebody and say, welcome to the house of God? How many of you can do that? Can I see your hands? Alright. How many cannot do that? No, nobody? I thought... Okay, let's try it again. Roland, please look around. Alright. How many of you can just smile and say to somebody, welcome? Alright. Okay, there you go, Roland. You've got a lot of volunteers. Anyway, like I say, you know, it's an amazing group here. Many of you are serving in different ways, but you and I have to know that Jesus is coming, all right? And because we are His children, we get to serve Him, we get to give to Him, we get to be a part of His work here in His kingdom, in this special part of Singapore. And one day when He comes, He sees us, because Romans 14 tells us also that each of us will give an account of himself to God. You are going to stand there. And you are going to tell Jesus, what did you do with your life? I'm not going to stand there with you. I cannot. You cannot say, you know, Pastor John, can you stand here and then tell Jesus all the good things that I've done? I can't. Because you have to, because I have to stand before Jesus myself and give an account of what I did with my time, my money, my talent, my life. I have to give all that to Jesus myself. And let us understand that this is a day, it is coming. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just take down the reference and read it up for yourself, that when Jesus appears, we must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And at this judgment seat of Christ, it is not a place of punishment, but it is a time of reward, determining how much reward you and I deserve. So it has nothing to do with salvation. And I want to emphasize to you the parable of the 10 virgins and this parable and the next. It has nothing to do with salvation, because it gives us the impression that if you do work, you will be saved. It is not about that, because salvation is free. And you and I must understand this, that to get salvation, you need to believe. Because by believing, it would determine your eternal destination. But here we are speaking also about behavior. Your behavior. How you behave would determine your eternal rewards. Your eternal rewards. And so often, we have said that we are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. I hope that you get this thing clear, that we are not teaching you that you can be saved if you do good works. But on the other hand, we find in verse 30, all right, chapter 25, look into your Bible, this is what Jesus said, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Question. This is the third servant. Was he saved? Did he go to heaven? And if he did not make it, why? Why? I think from the context here, from the passage, it is very clear this servant was not a disciple of Jesus. He was not a follower of Christ because he had the wrong view of God. He had a wrong view of God. He saw God as somebody who's always angry. He saw God as somebody who's unfair, ridiculous, unreasonable, a hard man. He's always taking things that did not belong to him. And Jesus called this servant, "You wicked and lazy servant," because his lifestyle is like that of an unbeliever. And that is how the world today sees our God, as somebody who's unreasonable, unfair, always angry with us. But that is not true. We have a loving God who is so amazing, so patient with us. So many times we have messed up, and he takes time and he's gentle, he works with us. That is the right view of our God. And if today, if I were to just put it in today's context, in our lives today, some of us behave like this third servant. Even though we are born again, we are much like him. Because in our lifestyle, as in this servant, he saw his master as somebody who's hard and who's fearful, and he didn't want to do anything. He saw his master as somebody who's unfair, unreasonable. And today, some of us may look at our God and look at Jesus. Why, Jesus? Why are you demanding my life? That's not fair. My life is my life. Is that true? That's not true. Our lives are now bought with the blood of Jesus. We belong to Him. But our lifestyle is different. Our lifestyle doesn't reflect the truth that we belong to Him. In our lifestyle, everything that we do today, yes, I come to church on Sundays. That's it. Lord, Sunday is your day. For 2 hours, 3 hours, that's it. I'm going home. The rest of the week is mine. And every time when God requires of us to do something, we ask this question, how is it going to benefit me? What is there in it for me? Is there any benefit if I have to teach Sunday school, if I were to study the Bible, if I were to come for prayer meeting, is there something in it for me? How does it benefit me? And that's the way we think in our minds today. How is it benefiting me? And you know what? It is not about us. It is about Jesus. It is about how you and I, because now we have been bought by His blood, we belong to Him. He's our Master. And He loved us so much, He gave up His own life. And I want to serve Him. I get to serve Him. Wow, what a privilege. Is that our attitude? Is that the way I view God? You and I have to check ourselves very, very carefully. Because if it is your view of God that He's always angry, He's always unreasonable, unfair, then you have to be careful. Because my fear is that He is not your Master. And if He's not your Master, then He doesn't know you. But if He is your Master, then you and I have to live like it. We have to obey Him. We have to commit ourselves 100% to Him. 100%. So the question comes back to us this morning. Am I investing my life expanding the kingdom of God? Am I investing my life immediately and completely right now? Am I profitably investing my life and wisely committing my life to Him? Am I serving Him eagerly and joyfully? Am I committing myself to Him faithfully? Serving Him, obeying Him faithfully. What is your end going to be like? Have you ever tried to visualize your end? What is it going to be like? Have your end in view as you start out. Because then, as you picture your ending, if that is what you want to be, then live your life accordingly. Revelation 20 tells us, and this is a very serious warning to us, Revelation 20:15 tells us, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Is your name written in the book of life? And the only way to have your name written in the book of life is to have Jesus as your Savior and your Master. And if He's your Master, then you have to be ready for His coming and be working for Him. If today, if you've still not realized that God is a loving God, He's an amazing boss to have. He's the most amazing boss, the best boss that you can have, and the best boss that I can have. He's so patient. He's so gentle with me. Many times I bungle up, and yet He picks me up and He allows me to try again. And this is the kind of God that you and I have today. But if you have not realized it, and Jesus have just snatched you and I from the mouth of hell, we really need to sit down and consider carefully, what is your belief? Do you believe that Jesus loved you very much? And I'm telling you, He does. Always. All the time. And if and until and unless you come to that point in your life to realize that He's that kind of God, having the right view of our God, you will never be able to commit your life to Him. Never. Because you will always be fighting and struggling with Him. But when you realize that He is such a loving God, He didn't hold back anything from us, why would you want to hold back anything from God? I want to end here with a story about the life of a lady. I thought she is a Korean, but she's not a Korean, you know. Her name is Lotte, whatever you want to pronounce it, Lotte Moon, all right? And this is her picture, okay? And, you know, she lived about 100 years ago. And this other picture, of course, when she was young, and then the other is when she's much older. She died at the age of 72. When she was alive, she was only 4 feet 3 inches. How many of you are 4 feet 3 inches? All right, don't raise your hand. This morning I took a measuring tape and I measured 4 feet 3 inches is just below my shoulder. All right, I'm already short. Okay, she is shorter, but this is one huge giant of a woman. Because let me share it with you what she did. She spent almost 40 years in China. She went to China at the age of 32. And she gave her whole life to the Chinese. And I think because of her work, there are many Christians today, you know, in the underground churches, in the house churches. Right? And what was amazing about this lady is that she's a Baptist, and she's been working and asking for a lot of help and money, financing for the ministry and all that. And she went through the Sino-Japanese War. She went through the Boxer Rebellion when the Chinese actually threw out the Westerners in 1900. And then she went through the nationalist upheaval. She went through all those things. She suffered so much for Jesus. And at the end of it, of her life, there was a famine, and people around her were starving. And you know what she did? She gave them her food. She gave them her money. And to a point when she weighed less than 50 pounds, not kilos, pounds. Do you know how much that weighs? Slightly under 30 kilos. All right? And they didn't realize, and when they found out it was too late, they shipped her back. And on her way back, she died because she was just too small. But you know what? In a place in Pingtu, in a town called this Pingtu, they found a small little memorial they put up for her. And on that, they put the words, how she loved us. How she loved us. And wow, I was just thinking through this. It's really powerful. And I was just asking myself, when I die, what would people say of me? You know, not that it matters, but this is a true testimony to an amazing lady who has come face to face with the living God. And there were many things that she said that's so amazing. She said, how many more millions of Chinese have got to go to hell before they hear the love of Jesus? And that's the thing that drove her, people. That's the thing that drove her. Just to bring the love of Jesus to them. And she did it with her life. With her hands wide open. She died at the age of 72. Just remember that she weighed less than 50 pounds, all right? at 4 feet 3 inches. Amazing lady. How she loved us. What would people say of you and I when we die? Would people look at me and say, how selfish he was? how good it is to be rid of this John, you know? All right. Would people be saying that of me? What about you? I hope that I trust that, and I know that God has spoken to us. And today, if you have been walking with Jesus for many years, Jesus would want you to commit yourself to Him, 100%, completely, immediately, and eagerly, joyfully, faithfully, because He loved us. I'll hand the time back to Ben.
right, let's all stand and sing.